and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the conference call on the third quarter results of 2011 of DSM. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial 1 and 4, 14 at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. I would like to turn the call over now to Mr. Herman Betten. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, thank you, Nicole. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call on DSM's third quarter results that we published early this morning. Sitting here with me is Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb, CFO and member of the DSM Managing Board. He will elucidate the results and after that answer your questions if you have any. And as a reminder, I am obliged to say that today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. And with that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Herman. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the 2011 third quarter results. As you can see in our press release, we had another strong quarter with solid growth. For the seventh consecutive quarter, our organic growth was double-digit, this time 14%, of which 6% volume and 8% from prices. Our EBITDA from continuing operations increased 26% to 339 million euro. Excluding a 7 million euro IFRS pension adjustment in 2010, the increase would have been 30%, which is the strongest increase in more than a year. At the life sciences clusters, there was a robust performance despite a significant impact of the Swiss franc, and our material sciences clusters posted very good results driven by polymer intermediates. Our earnings per share from continuing operations before exceptional items increased 38%, reflecting these strong operating results and a lower tax rate. Including exceptional items, earnings per share even more than doubled. The MarTech integration is completed. As remarked before, the innovation and growth potential of this company is substantial. The EBITDA performance of MarTech in Q3 was once again excellent. During the third quarter, the monetary and financial instability continued to increase with substantial currency volatility. On average, the Swiss franc was 13% stronger against the euro compared to the third quarter last year, and the US dollar was 10% weaker compared to last year's third quarter, both negative for us. The governmental austerity programs combined with the financial turmoil and a drop in consumer and producer confidence caused a slowdown in economic growth in the developed world. The building and construction market continues to be weak, and demand has even weakened. Demand has also weakened in electronics and electrical markets. In the high-growth economies, economic growth slowed down marginally, partly due to interventions to address inflationary pressures in these countries. We believe we are well positioned to face the challenges caused by this difficult macroeconomic environment. The life sciences clusters are relatively resilient to the economic turmoil, and DSM overall is benefiting from its strong presence in high-growth economies, especially in China. Our financial position is strong. Moody's just confirmed our A3 credit rating, including a stable outlook. Nutrition had a robust performance in the quarter with EBITDA margins above 20% as targeted. EBITDA improved compared to last year, despite the negative impact of currencies of about 25 million euro net of hedging results, as well as higher raw material and energy costs. These negative effects were compensated for by volume growth, the MarTech acquisition, and ongoing efforts to optimize cost. Prices were stable versus last year in Q3 and up 1% versus Q2. Pharma sales and results improved, mainly driven by higher volumes from DSM pharmaceutical products. EBITDA increased, but is still well below an acceptable level. The anti-infectives joint venture between DSM and Sinochem Group was established in the quarter. As of 1st of September, the joint venture is proportionally consolidated at 50%. This impacted the reported net sales by minus 8% in the cluster in this quarter. In performance materials, prices and unit margins continued to improve within DSM Engineering Plastics and DSM Resins. EBITDA improved slightly as higher results at DSM Engineering Plastics were partially offset by lower results at DSM Dyneema, which are mainly related to lower volumes. Polymer intermediates continued to show substantial EBITDA increase compared to the same period last year. Continued pricing strength and higher margins combined with the higher sales volumes and an excellent manufacturing performance drove the results to a new record high. Now to the outlook. The outlook for the remainder of the year is consistent with our earlier expectations. However, we are mindful of the impact that a deterioration in macroeconomic conditions could have on our end markets. At the same time, we remain confident that we will continue to benefit from our balanced, relatively resilient portfolio in health, nutrition, and materials, our broad geographic spread with a strong presence in high-growth economies, and our very solid balance sheet. We assume that there will be no major changes to the overall business conditions for the remainder of the year. The nutrition cluster is expected to maintain its resilient performance through firm pricing and continued volume growth. At the current exchange rate, the Swiss franc is estimated to have a negative impact of between 10 and 15 million euro net of hedges in the fourth quarter compared to last year. Including Martec, full-year EBITDA for the cluster is expected to be clearly above last year's level. Conditions in the pharma cluster remain challenging, and the overall results are anticipated to be lower than in 2010. As already said, DSM has proportionally consolidated DSM Sinochem Pharmaceuticals at 50% as of 1st of September 2011. In performance materials, unit margins have clearly increased during the year. However, the cluster will continue to be impacted by weakening demand in building and construction and electronics and electrical, and lower sales at DSM Dynimat related to the tender-driven vehicle protection business as previously communicated. The cluster is expected to report full-year results above last year. The polymer intermediates business continues to benefit from very strong, although softening, trading conditions. Polymer intermediates full-year results are expected to be excellent. We remain confident that 2011 will be a strong year, with further progress being made towards achieving the EBITDA target of 1.4 to 1.6 billion euro in 2013, in conjunction with the return on capital employed of more than 15%. And now I would like to open the lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. To be registered for the question and answer queue, please press 1 and 4 at any time. And if you are on speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the keys. So 1 and 4, 14. Today's first question is from Bart Koster, Dow Jones. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Schwal, good morning. Thanks for your availability. I was just wondering, you are emphasizing a lot about the currency effects on the result. Can you be more? Can you elaborate a bit more on that, on how it affects the results of the quarter?
Okay. The most important currency which affects the results of the quarter is the Swiss franc at the moment. Mm-hmm. Our nutrition business, the DSM Nutritional Products business group, is headquartered in Switzerland. So that is, of course, a large cost. Also, their R&D is largely in Switzerland, and two of the key factories are in Switzerland. So okay. We have 800 million Swiss franc as a cost base in nutritional products, and that 800 million Swiss franc, with the strength of the Swiss franc today, it was in August for one day, or was even close to 1-to-1 to euro. Only 2 years ago, it was 150. So at that time, 800 million Swiss franc were 550 million euro, and in August for that one day, 800 million Swiss franc was 800 million euro cost, and that of okay. course. Impact. Now, on average, in the third quarter, it was not 1-to-1. It was somewhere around 1-10. But that is still significantly hurting us. At the moment, we have, because of the intervention of the Swiss National Bank, about 1.22, 1.23. That is a little bit better. But if you think of the 1.50 we had 2 years ago, still very, very strong Swiss franc.
So the cost base for the nutrition business is 800 million Swiss francs on an annual basis?
Yeah, in Switzerland, yes. Of course, there's more cost in other countries, but yeah. in Switzerland yeah. they have two factories, most of the R&D yeah. and the headquarters.
And that's 800 million on annual base?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Aaron Greyblock, Thomson Reuters. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning all. Thanks very much, Errol, for taking our questions. I'd like to focus a little bit more on the softening in the electronics and construction markets. Has that weakening continued into the fourth quarter? And what can that say about 2012?
What was the last one?
Yeah, if it has continued into the fourth quarter, what can you say about developments in 2012? So it's a little early to make statements about that.
Yeah. Now, the conditions in the beginning of the fourth quarter have been basically the same in that area, so it has certainly not improved. Whether it has further weakened compared to, say, September, that is difficult to say with only qualitative information. But it certainly doesn't improve. I mean, building construction industry is very much down, and also nobody expects that it will improve in the next even 2 or 3 years. And the electronics, the electric markets also have weakened and stay there where they are. I mean, in addition, what I've said, we have seen some softening in the polymer intermediates markets. Now, to have a view on 2012, I think, is too early. The only thing which I can repeat is that's a general expectation of the markets is that building construction will not improve in the next 1 or 3 years even. What the other markets will do is difficult to say, but if I look at the OECD forecasts for next year, they have not improved. They have weakened.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned also about making good progress to your 2013 targets. Just correct me, are you still saying that you can actually achieve those targets, or are you just saying you're going to make a progress now towards those targets?
Yeah, the targets 2013 are absolute numbers. So depending on where we completely end up in the year, and you can look at some analyst estimates for the year, we do not publish an outlook with a precise number, then it is clear that coming from 1.16 billion euro EBITDA, that we make a significant step towards 1.4 to 1.6, which is the absolute EBITDA target, so at least towards the lower end of that range. And we have 2 years to go. On the return on capital, which keeps us also straight on acquisitions, we will see where the year ends, but that also will be in the ballpark. So that's what we mean by making further progress towards the 2013 target. It's an absolute number. The lower end of the range which we set as a target is 1.4 billion, coming from 1.16 in 2010. 2011 clearly is a step towards that lower end.
Okay, so my last question before I hand over, are you then saying that you're now only going to meet the lower end of those targets? Or
We're saying this is the range, but already in the first year after announcing the target and 2 years to go, we'll be not so far away from the lower end. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that in 2013 we expect to meet only the lower end. There are still 2 years to go.
Indeed. Yep, getting a bit ahead of ourselves. But thanks very much.
The next question is from Anna Fishman. And Bay, go ahead, please.
Good morning. I want to go back to the franc. When do you think you're going to profit from the pegging of the franc to the euro?
Well, look, that's basically what the Swiss National Bank did early September, and that's why we now have 122, 123, and not anymore 1 to 110. So that has improved the situation, but it's still far stronger than the Swiss franc was until about 1.5, 2 years ago. I mean, it came down basically starting in the first half of 2010. The Swiss franc strengthened, the euro came down versus the Swiss franc, from the 145, 150, 155 range, and then it for the first time went below 120 from a euro perspective in June this year. Then in August, as I said, on one day we even were at parity, and now the Swiss National Bank has kind of pegged it at the 120 level again. But that is only what we achieved, what we had in June. It is not moving us back to where we were at all.
Okay, but you're not hedging the...
Oh, yes, we are hedging, but hedging, of course, basically we are hedging for 1 year. So this year we have still hedging benefit out of the hedges in 2010 at better rates for us. But for next year, of course, the hedges which we did this year already are at a stronger rate. And we hedge half of our risk, so the other half is open to what the market has.
Okay, so half of your risk is also going to be on a high level next year.
Yeah, maybe 100% if the Swiss franc doesn't improve. I mean,
on the higher than the 120.
What we hedged this year for next year is on average still a better rate than we have it in the market.
Oh, okay, I see.
But it's not as good as last year.
No, of course. Okay. But it's lower than the 120.
What do you mean by lower?
You say better than the market.
Yeah, so it is a number somewhere. I don't know exactly what our hedge number is at the moment, but it's probably somewhere between 120 and 130 or so.
Okay. Okay. I have another question. Can I ask it?
Yeah, sure.
Could you elaborate on the prices for raw materials in the third quarter?
Yeah, prices for raw materials have, broadly, stabilized. It has not dramatically gone up further, which we had a year ago, and where we had to compensate a lot within price increases, which we also did. So we have more stability recently, even some prices coming down, like benzene. But that is not as dramatic, I would say, as it was 12 months ago.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Jeroen Moldenaar, Financiële Dagblad. Go ahead, please.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for taking our questions. My first would be on this year. You again state it's going to be a strong year. We've got two more months to go. So I was wondering, can you be a little bit more specific than just stating it's strong? That's going to be the first one. The second question is 2012. As I understand it, there is some, basically construction is down. We know that, and electronic markets, consumers are very reluctant to buy all this stuff. So, of course, we can see some deterioration there. But you also say there's some softening in polar intermediates. Is there going to be a spillover in other areas in next year, which may even make things worse?
Well, that's still difficult to say, and we do not give an outlook for 2012 at this point in time, as you know. We will do that in February, as usual. We are still even in our own planning and budgeting processes. Generally speaking, we are cautious because, I mean, it's obvious that something is going on in the world. On the other side, we are, of course, improved versus 2 years ago. If the economy really would worsen, then, of course, DSM is there completely different from what it was 3 years ago. I mean, we have a different portfolio, much more resilient. We have much more presence in high-growth economies, so even if the Western world slows down or goes even in a recession, and we have a very solid balance sheet. So whether now the individual markets, where they exactly will go and what that means for our results, that's too early to say, but we see softening, as I said in my on an earlier question on building construction. We see nobody assuming improvements next year at all. We also saw the forecasted growth rates by the OECD today. So that's also on the careful side, not as positive as we experienced it in the last 2 years or so. So we clearly see softening, but that's all we can say at the moment. I mean, polymer intermediates is now happening, softening, but still very strong. I mean, we said that always in the last quarters, we should not extrapolate the results which we had. There was clearly a point where it would also change again, because these extreme numbers which we saw in the last three quarters, they really were a special period, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that that you are a completely different company, but let's take this company as DSM is today now, and make a projection into 2012, which is only 2 months to go. The question: in which areas would there be a spillover if the economic conditions would deteriorate?
Again, I mean, I will not give an outlook for 2012, but obviously, if you look at the portfolio, then the life sciences part of the portfolio is more resilient or hardly affected by economic deterioration than the material sciences portfolio. I mean, this is normal, and this is also what you should expect, but I cannot go in more detail at the moment because we are still developing our own view in more detail on 2012.
Okay, is the slowdown in Dyneema in the third quarter, is that due to economic conditions or something else?
No, slowdown of Dyneema is basically the same as we had reported in the second quarter. You also find in the press release the statement that it is related to the tender-driven vehicle protection business, and these tenders they are sometimes there and sometimes not there. And last year we had a huge tender where we were selling into, and this year there is no tender on this vehicle protection business. That's all it is. So it does not have nothing to do with the broader economic development.
Okay. My last question would be, and that's taking the step to your expectations, of course. I mean, you're taking big strides towards your 2013 goals. Analysts project 1.3 billion EBITDA for this year, and you're going to 1.4, 1.6 in 2013. So I would suggest that, making these big strides, you're going to be there next year, but either you're being very cautious in your outlook because, something is maybe going to happen next year, economically speaking, or you're just being too cautious. Which one is it?
Yeah, I have not said anything about 2012, so, and I will also not say anything. But we see what the economy is doing right now. It is not growing as fast as it did earlier. So, and we have to be mindful of that, and we have to look at that situation, and have to also do our homework for a slower growth period. But that's all I can say from a macro perspective, external growth expectations at the moment, and no further statement on our own detailed expectations for next.
Yeah, but aren't you being too careful with your 2013 projection of the 1.4, 1.6? Because you're probably going to be there next year.
Again, I will not say anything about next year. Are we too careful? We'll see. This is a target we defined last year, and as we have discussed many times earlier, we are not changing our targets every year.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mr. Schwab.
The next question is from Bart Koster, Dow Jones. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it is Bart Koster again from Dow Jones. Good morning. Mr. Schwab, you have integrated MarTech successfully into your business. I was just wondering, considering your financial situation and the business situation, whether you see any acquisitions appearing in the coming period, and if so, in what division could we expect it?
Yeah, our acquisition policy basically has not changed, and acquisitions are clearly part of our growth strategy as we announced it last year. So we are interested and we want to do more acquisitions. We also see potential targets, mm-hmm. And we are working on those. But this is, as usual, very difficult to predict when something comes to a closure. So we will see. Now, where do we look for acquisitions? Mainly in three areas, and that is, of course, nutrition. That is, secondly, where we had MarTech. That is, secondly, the materials business. And thirdly, it is the emerging business areas. And if you look back what we did in the last 12 months, which was, I guess, about 10 different acquisitions, I mean, the biggest one, of course, MarTech, then they have been in those areas. Recently, we had the C5 Yeast Company, which was in the emerging business areas. Very recently, a few weeks ago, we closed the ICT Shandong acquisition in the materials business in China. So mm-hmm. in all these three areas, we have done acquisitions, and that's also where we want to continue.
Okay, and can you elaborate a bit on how much your war chest is available for that?
Yeah, if you look at today's balance sheet, and if you look at our rating ambition, which is an A rating, A minus mm-hmm. is sufficient, and the A minus rating and our own targets allow us to go for a gearing up to 30%, we say. A minus would even allow a bit more. Now, the rest is basically a calculation. If you have this balance sheet and you have a gearing of 30%, you can easily calculate that this allows us to, for acquisitions in the order of magnitude of 2 billion or even a bit more, without touching or issuing new equity at all. So on the current capacity, this is an order of magnitude of 2 billion, maybe a bit more.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Jeroen Molenaert, Financieel Dagblad. Go ahead, please.
Yes, gentlemen. Just a follow-up question on the raw materials answer you gave to my colleague. So some raw materials are stabilizing, you say, and some are like benzene are coming down. Would you say you're going to be more easy on pricing, on passing this through to customers, or are you still expect pricing to be strong the rest of the year and maybe next year?
Basically, we need to still improve our margins, especially in the materials business, so we will look at further pricing possibilities. On the other side, the pressure from the raw materials is not that strong anymore at the moment. Maybe even some are going down. But our margins, of course, are still not satisfactory. If you look at performance materials, where we have a margin target for 2015 of 17%, and currently we are around 11%, there's still a long way to go. And partly we need to bridge that difference through pricing. Not only pricing, of course, but pricing has to play a role. And of course, we also continue in our nutrition business with a value over volume strategy, because also there we need to continue keeping an eye on pricing. Now, that does not now announce massive price increases. That is not what we need at the moment. But we need to still continue in the same direction, because margins, especially in materials, performance materials, are not sufficient yet.
But if there's going to be a softening in the markets, especially in performance materials, how do you expect to raise prices in those areas?
At the moment, maybe not. That's what I said. When at the moment raw materials are going down, then of course that is more difficult. But then your margin will even expand if prices are stable. So of course you have to look at the specific markets, the specific situations, and not it's not a broad thing across a whole business segment.
Okay, thanks very much.
Looking at the time, we have time for one final question.
The last question is from Andrew Noel, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's really a follow-up on the earlier question about M&A. When you look at Martek, it must be, on the one hand, an encouragement to do other deals. And on that note, I suppose the valuations are coming down. But I suppose there's a balance against your own sort of naturally conservative stance that you've shown. I just wondered if you could comment, where you are in terms of that balance. So, especially in the light of this morning, we saw G4S abandoning its purchase of ISS, completely different field. But there's some shareholder resistance. So, if you could comment on that, and perhaps, the challenges you feel about doing a larger deal versus sort of smaller ones.
Yeah, we look at a very broad universe, and we are very disciplined. That is correct. I mean, Martek is an example where we had a very good price and an excellent performance and a huge growth potential for the future. So, in that sense, a perfect deal for us, but also for the Martek shareholders at the time. But of course, we will see what we can do, and we'll see where we can really invest to really increase value of the company and value for the company, because we want to generate value and not destroy value. I mean, too many acquisitions in the world have been value destructive, and we don't want to play in this field.
Mm. Do you still see, in the fields of nutrition, do you still see a lot of competition, a lot of competing interest in those assets?
Yeah, that is case by case different. That is really case specific. So there's no general answer. In some cases, you will find competition. In other cases, you have such a perfect situation that you hardly can get any competition. You cannot answer this kind of question in a general term. In principle, also sellers will look for value for their shareholders. So you will have to find a way which makes sense for both parties at the end.
Okay. And perhaps just really briefly, is there any update on the pharma partnerships that that are in the pipeline?
One partnership is now effective. It has started to operate 8 weeks ago or so, so it's very early. Very early, I mean, to see the benefits yet, but we have clearly published our objectives for 2015. And the other one is still in process, so nothing to be announced at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, before we close this call, I would like to give the floor to Rolf Dieter for some final remarks.
Yeah, thank you all for participating, a very good discussion, thank you for that. And just want to summarize again, very strong Q3 results, but we see some weakening in some markets, we see growth coming down. DSM, of course, is not immune, but we are much better prepared, different portfolio, strong presence in high-growth economies, and solid balance sheet. So we will continue with our strategy, and we will also continue with the part of the strategy which we discussed extensively, i.e. acquisitions. Thank you again. DSM has transformed, and we will go forward positively.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM conference call. Thank you for attending. You may disconnect your line now.